You open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verse 21. Joshua, chapter 2, verse 21. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, again, we bow with hearts of gratitude for the grace of God that provides for us salvation, and for the grace that gives to us experiential sanctification, the ability to grow and advance on a day-by-day basis. We're thankful as we consider your matchless grace that we are also aware of the fact not only do you give us grace by which to live, but you give us grace by which to leave this life. And so we're thankful today that one of these days when it is time for us to leave this life, that we're going to go either by the rapture or by means of physical death. And we're thankful that we have the assurance that one of these days, however long from now that may be or short, we are thankful that we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. And by God's grace and the salvation through Jesus Christ, we will be absent from the body and the home with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we bow again with hearts of gratitude for this magnificent assurance. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The desire of my heart, of course, is to read the entire second chapter of the book of Joshua. But I'm not going to take the time to do that. I'm going to ask you, though, if you will, to go to Joshua chapter 2. Be aware of the fact that there's an emphasis here upon a scarlet cord in the window. Most of you by now are aware of the fact of what this is all about. Just in case there's someone here who has not rehearsed this information in recent days, then I want you to know that this is a magnificent passage of Scripture. We will look at parts of it as we make our way down to verse 21. Joshua chapter 2, verse 21 says, "And she said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window." And there's where we get our title for the message for this session. Joshua had been one of the 12 spies who had been sent into Canaan some 40 years before. I'm going to be reading in a few moments these verses, so just want you to get points 1 and 2. Joshua had been one of the 12 spies who had been sent into Canaan some 40 years before. Now he sends 2 scouts to bring a report of the land and find out the strength of Jericho, the first stronghold they would attack after crossing the river. It's very important that you get these 2 thoughts in mind as we begin our reading. The first is Joshua had been one of the 12 spies who had been sent into Canaan some 40 years before. Secondly, now he sends 2 scouts to bring a report to the land and find out the strength of Jericho, the first stronghold that would attack after crossing the river. Beginning now with verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent 2 men as spies. "Go view the land, especially Jericho. For they went and came into the house of a harlot, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. And she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it came about when it was time to shut the gate, dark, that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now therefore they lay down. She came up to them on the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth. And spare my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. I'm taking it now that most of you have read this many times and you know where we are and what's happening. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell the business of ours. And it should come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. I need to pause for a moment to tell you that I have found this such an interesting study, and I'm not going to take the time to go into all the details of information I've discovered. But it's interesting to see how these walls were constructed, how thick they were, how they were planned in such a fashion that there was a number of feet between them, the walls. And up on the top of these 30-foot walls, houses were constructed, and that's where we find the house of Rahab. Not going to go into all that. You can see that I'm stuttering because I want to tell you more than I'm able to tell you right now, or want to tell you, and I can't do all that. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, verse 15, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. I just wanted you to see where I'm finding all this information. She said to them, go to the hill country, lest they pursue. That was somewhere up around Kerrville. The hill country. Oh, you folks are wonderful, I tell you. I've been told that my jokes are hominy, the cheapest grade of corn. I just got through giving you some. Go to the hill country, lest the pursuers happen upon you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way. The men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you which you have made us swear, unless we come into the land, you tie the cord of scarlet thread on the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. And it should come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head. You shall be free, but anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. Verse 20, but if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear. And she said, this is our verse, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Please notice again the first two points that we have here. Joshua had been one of the 12 spies who had been sent into Canaan some 40 years before. Now he sends two scouts to bring a report of the land and find out the strength of Jericho, the first stronghold they would attack after crossing the river. Number three, these spies aroused suspicion, but were saved from death by Rahab, covering them with flax on the roof. Now, you are aware of the fact that I read this information, and I trust that you are getting the picture. These spies aroused suspicion, but were saved from death by Rahab covering them with flax on the roof. Number four, the spies learned from Rahab that all the city was in terror of the Israelites, and they promised that they would spare her and her household when the city was taken. It's important for you to get into your thinking that the spies learned from Rahab that all the city was in terror of the Israelites, and they promised that they would spare her and her household when the city was taken. Number five, the spies were let down by a rope, according to Joshua 2:15, over the city wall from Rahab's dwelling. Number six, consider some additional information about this particular woman, prostitute Rahab. I want to pause right now and ask you a question. Have you ever thought about the Bible characters who were not all that great characters? Have you ever thought about how many people who were used of the Lord who at one time or the other just failed miserably? Either they were failing before they were converted as Saul of Tarsus, or they were failing after they were converted as David. Now, on the way to Houston the other day, we decided that Joyce would write these down. We were trying to discover all the individuals we could think of who failed along the way. And what we discovered is that God used many individuals who are failures. So that lets me know that I need to tell you that if you ever consider yourself in any way being a failure, just rest assured that it is possible for you to get right with God and for God to use you. I'm not going to charge you any extra for that because I felt like you need to be comforted by hearing that information. Number six, consider some additional information about this prostitute. Number one, subpoint one, no matter what a person is involved in, the light of God's grace makes all the difference in the world. Rahab had heard of the miracles related to Israel and had become convinced that Israel's God was a true God. You'll find that in the second chapter, which we read, verses 10 and 11. So when she met these scouts, these spies, she decided to risk her very own life and be with them. And when I thought about this, I thought about various different words that could be used. And I believe that a word that would describe what happened to her was perception. This is a very important word. So let me reiterate subpoint one. No matter what a person is involved in, we're talking about Rahab the prostitute. The light of God's grace makes all the difference in the world. Rahab had heard of the miracles related to Israel and had been convinced that Israel's God was the true God. And we find that in chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. So when she met these scouts, these spies, she decided that she would risk her very own life and be with them and take care of them. And so that reveals the fact that she was perceptive. Subpoint two. There's something else that you and I must realize, and maybe we have or maybe we have not. According to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, which is a genealogy, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, we discover that Rahab married an Israelite named Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. We find this as in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Caleb had a son named Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. We find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 51. So I've come to this point and I ask a question in capital letters. What is happening here? What could it be, the same Salmon? And then I'm going to let you do some research and you'll find some interesting things. If so, then she married into a leading family of Israel and related to Boaz. Now, I want you to get some of these thoughts down. So we find then that David and the Lord Jesus Christ related to Boaz. When you go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, you will find the name of Rahab listed among the heroes of faith. Now, I don't know whether you've thought about this or not, but this woman is a prostitute. I want you to understand that this is an interesting situation indeed. So the question is, can anyone look at God's plan and come to the conclusion that God can use a person who has become involved in that type of a livelihood? Okay, so I began to read from someone. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 18, "Behold, when you come into the land, you shall set this line of scarlet thread in a window from which you let us down. And you shall bring your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household home to you." That's Joshua chapter 2, verse 18. But Joshua chapter 2, verse 19 says, "And it shall be, whoever shall go out of the doors of your house, his blood shall be on his head, and we will be blameless. And whoever shall be with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is on him." Now that's Joshua chapter 2, verse 19. Sometimes I wonder if I'm throwing you into the middle of a story and you don't have all the surrounding circumstances. But I'm trying to do this briefly and encourage you to study this because it's so fantastic. Rahab, the harlot here, is an example of the grace of God at work. So we see a woman who is involved in a lifestyle that is far from what God's plan is, and yet we see the grace of God at work in this individual's life. Her salvation was not based upon her character. Had her salvation been based upon her character, she would have never made it. But let me tell you something. Your salvation, my salvation, is not based upon our character. It's very important that we see this. And so I look at Rahab, the harlot, the prostitute, the profligate. How many words can I give you to describe her? I want to let you see what we're talking about here. Her salvation was not based on her character or merits. She lived in a doomed city. She practiced a condemned profession. She engaged in subversive activities. And also, in connection with all those other things, she lied about her actions. Nevertheless, listen to me, nevertheless, she acted upon faith and was spared the judgment of God, which was executed at the hands of the Israelites. Please don't consider anyone, no matter who they are and what they've done, outside of the touch of God's grace. In addition to her deliverance, Rahab was rewarded beyond measure when she married into the household of Salmon. By Salmon, Rahab became the mother of Boaz, an ancestress of David in the Messianic line of the ancestors of Jesus. Now, you do whatever you want to with that, but I tell you what, it's amazing to me to see how this Bible presents various truths. As one of the four women listed in the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1, Rahab is in the company of Tamar, who's also a harlot, and Ruth, who was a virtuous Gentile. When I think in terms of Saul of Tarsus, I see him as an individual who desires to kill Christians. He is upset. He's determined that he's going to get rid of Christians. When I go to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, I discover that God worked a miracle in that individual's life. And all of us know that so many books of the New Testament were written by the Spirit of God through him. We understand that there is a beautiful example of law not being able to do it, but grace being able to do it. Everywhere you find the Apostle Paul, you're going to find the message of God's amazing grace. So let me tell you again, when you go to the writings of Hebrews 11:31, the scripture there says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. So we find there, and all of us are aware of the fact, that that's the hero chapter, the faith hero chapter, and we find the name of Rahab. The scarlet thread of Rahab is a symbol of her faith that God will provide deliverance in the time of judgment. Please let me ask you to remember that. The scarlet thread, the scarlet cord in the window is a symbol of her faith that God will provide deliverance in the time of judgment. I have so much fun when I understand that there have been ministers over the years who preach the Word of God. And I have always had an admiration for Dr. W.A. Criswell, who was for many years the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. But one of the things that I typed in, a scarlet thread. And when I typed in the words scarlet thread, up comes a message by Dr. W.A. Criswell. I have not read all of it. I'm telling you it is something else. I can somehow just imagine, because I heard that man preach. And I always had great admiration for his preaching. But I want you to know that as I make my way through reading some of this information about the scarlet thread through the Bible, I find myself somehow hearing that man preach the Word of God, telling us that you find Jesus on every page of the Word of God. I understand that in the British government they made ropes, and the ropes had within it a single scarlet thread. Now I want you to know the scarlet thread of Rahab is a symbol of her faith that God will provide deliverance in the time of judgment. Throughout the Word of God, scarlet speaks of an expression of faith made on the behalf of the believer. And it seems that we find this also in the vestments of the tabernacle and the priestly garments in the book of Exodus. So we discover that that scarlet thread, the scarlet color, is used over and over again. And so I wrote myself a little note. Rahab was saved from destruction because she had enough faith in God to place a scarlet cord in the window. Much more could be said, but we're going to go home with that. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful indeed today for the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that we find that magnificent presentation of our Savior throughout every chapter, every book of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We find Jesus presented over and over again. We realize that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that deity too was willing to leave heaven's glory, come down to this earth and be the God-man, God in the flesh, the Theos Anthropos, God in the flesh. He came for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear the sins of the world. How thankful we are today for the fact that Jesus Christ loved us so much and the Heavenly Father cared for us so much that He was willing to give His Son and the Son was willing to give His life that we might have life eternal. We know that the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So we're thankful today for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that there's no way to be saved apart from accepting the work of Jesus Christ. This beautiful scarlet thread, cord that runs through all the pages of the Old and New Testament. We're thankful indeed for Jesus. And as we leave this place today, we pray that those who hear the message perhaps today who've yet never accepted Jesus Christ, that they will do that right now. The Scripture says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. We pray that there will be those, even at this moment, who will believe, who will accept you as their Lord and Savior. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.